are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. On this Thursday edition of the show, my guest will be Kyle Madsen. He is the new managing editor of the Niners Wire, and he's always a pleasure to talk Niners with. So looking forward to talking to him in just a minute. I do want to remind everybody to subscribe, rate, review the show. We're on iTunes, we're on Spotify, we're on Google Podcasts. We are everywhere that you can find podcasts. Tell a friend about Locked On 49ers. You can find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. You can start getting those mailbag questions for Friday's episode of the show. You can also email the show at LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. Let's begin with the injury report, shall we? The 49ers are banged up. That's not news to anybody. Obviously, Jimmy Garoppolo out for the year with a torn ACL. C.J. Beathard's the next man up at quarterback, and he will be most likely the starting quarterback the rest of the year unless he gets hurt. Nick Mullins has been called up from the practice squad. He will be the backup for at least this week, and then we'll see if the 49ers end up bringing in one of the guys they have worked out to be CJ's backup, or if they decide, you know, we didn't really like what we saw with these guys and we're going to stick with Nick Mullins as the backup quarterback, and then maybe they add somebody to the practice squad. But we talked about some of the names: Kellen Clemens, TJ Yates, and Tom Savage coming in for workouts. And then the latest names now: EJ Manuel, Landry Jones, Matt Sims, and undrafted rookie Kyle Allen are the other names. So seven altogether so far, from what I've seen, are quarterbacks that the 49ers brought in to work out. No signings yet are imminent. So right now, preseason hero Nick Mullins, he's the guy. He was activated from the practice squad, and he will back up Beathard in Sunday's Week 4 contest in L.A. Along with Garoppolo being out, another important piece of the 49ers is cornerback Richard Sherman. He's got a calf injury, not practicing. He's going to be out for a couple weeks, 2 to 3 weeks is the prognosis for him. So the 49ers are going to be lean in the secondary. Adrian Colbert did not practice with a hip injury. If he can't go, DJ Reed, the rookie, will likely start at free safety, or maybe they'll go with a different cornerback and have Jimmy Ward playing free safety. We'll see how that goes and see how things get shuffled for Robert Saleh's defense there with Richard Sherman and possibly Adrian Colbert being out as well this week. A big one is Matt Breida. He's tied for the league lead in the NFL, league lead in rushing. And he has been limited. He's got that knee injury. He hyperextended it last week and left the game, came back and played. The fact that he came back last week and played on it, and he's still working out on the side. He's not getting contact work. Leads me to believe Matt Breida is going to play, but it's not certain. He's listed as questionable, and he's been limited in practice this week. Joshua Garnett still not practicing with his dislocated toe. Marquise Goodwin limited in practice with a quad injury. Mike Person did not practice. He's dealing with a knee injury and was really hobbled around in Week 3. That's going to be tough for him to go, but we'll see if he does like last week and just doesn't practice all week. And then on game day, just says, let's go, let's do it. And it's pretty impressive what Mike Person's been doing with his injuries. Joe Staley not practicing, but that's just a veteran day off, not injury related there. Jaquaski Tartt not practicing with a shoulder injury. So Antoine Exum would be the starter at strong safety if Tartt can't go. And Akella Witherspoon's dealing with both ankle and hip injuries, but he was a full participant in practice. So Akella Witherspoon looks good to go on Sunday. Taking a look at the Chargers injury report, Joey Bosa, he said today that he's going to be out for weeks, probably until like week 8. I think he got a walking boot off his foot. So that's good news for the 49ers. The stud pass rusher, that is Joey Bosa, will not be playing on Sunday. Keenan Allen, wide receiver, did not practice. He's got a knee injury. Joe Barksdale, the tackle, not practicing as well for the Chargers. Travis Benjamin, wide receiver, has a foot injury. He's limited in practice for the Chargers. Then Russell Okung, another tackle with a knee injury, has been fully participating, as has fullback Derek Watts. So definitely not the long list of players that are hurt, but a couple of important ones for the Chargers that are banged up and not practicing. Joey Bosa will definitely not play. We'll see what happens as the week goes on with Keenan Allen, who has been playing, but he is dealing with a little bit of a knee injury, and that would really help if their best offensive weapon wasn't on the field Sunday. And a shadow 49er, by the way, is Keenan Allen. From the inaugural 2013 shadow draft, he was my second pick in the second round. The first pick that year was Xavier Rhodes, cornerback for the Vikings. So I got off to a nice start with the Shadow 49ers. But enough of that stuff. Let's get to today's guest after I spread the word about MyBookie. The only place to go if you want to lay down some cash on the games. I don't know who's going to win, but if you think you do, you got to go to MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. They've been in the business for years, have great reviews online. Their mobile site is a breeze to use. They have in-game live betting, over-unders on fantasy points scored, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. MyBookie is slammed with new bettors, and they want to give everyone the best service possible. So if you're willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern Time, they'll give you an additional $25 free play on deposits over $100. And that's easy money right there because, come on, 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, you guys can wait till after that to deposit your money. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim up to $1,000 in free play. And if you're willing to hold out until after 7 p.m., you can get an extra $25 free play by using promo code LOCKEDON25. It's up to you guys, but I'd wait until after dinner and take the extra money. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie. It's my pleasure to welcome in Mr. Kyle Madsen. It's been a while since he's been on the show, and always fun to talk to him. Good Niner dude, good football dude, and I think he's having fun also watching the Oakland A's around this time of the year. So let me welcome Kyle Madsen to the show. Kyle, thanks for coming on once again here on Locked On 49ers.
Yeah, man, anytime, man. Enjoy
it. So first of all, I got to say congrats on the new gig at Niners Wire. Glad to see USA Today finally came to their senses and kicked old Chris Biederman to the curb. That's right. Get a real journalist
in
there.
Yeah, that's exactly what they did. They said, Chris, you're doing a bad job. You need to get out of here. And the Sacramento Bee was like, you know what, we'll take it. This is fun.
Yeah, no, I love Chris. He's a friend of the show. But, yeah, congrats on that. I hope you're having fun covering the Niners now. You used to be covering the Titans. Are you doing both or just Niners now?
I was doing both briefly, but I've transitioned away from Titans, thankfully. Because trying to focus on two football teams in an in-depth capacity was very difficult. But now I'm back covering the Niners, a team I've followed since I was remember following football. So it's exciting for sure. And you know, big shoes to fill with Chris, of course, who we joke about, but he's wonderful and a good friend of mine. And super excited for him to be up at the Sacramento Bee, and glad that USA Today tapped me to take over for.
Yeah, it's awesome. And you're still doing good work there. So quality stuff happening continues to happen at Niners Wire. And yeah, Chris is awesome. And good luck to him over there at the Sacramento Bee. And I got to have Chris on the show again sometime soon. I haven't had him on since he started at the Bee. Looking at Niners Wire, your most recent piece was talking about five 49ers that need to step up now that Jimmy Garoppolo is out. And obviously that's the headline that's dominating the 49ers this week. C.J. Beathard is in and Jimmy Garoppolo out. C.J. Beathard, obviously one of those guys. But can you talk about some of the other players that need to step up besides the new starting quarterback for the 49ers in C.J. Beathard?
You mentioned Garoppolo's biggest headline. I've tried to not incorporate him into every piece I've written since his injury, but like you said, that is the story right now. And everything the 49ers do is going to tie into that in some way. As far as players who need to step up, you mentioned Beathard at the top. He's the obvious one. He has to be better than he was last year if the 49ers are going to be competitive. A couple of guys on the defensive side of the ball I looked at immediately were Solomon Thomas and Reuben Foster. Thomas would have needed to step up regardless of who was under center, at least in my view. I don't think he's been as productive as they thought he was going to be, especially as a pass rusher. But if they're going to help carry Beathard a little bit, that defense is going to be it's going to have to be better. They're going to have to find a pass rush somewhere. And I think you've got to look to the former number three overall pick to do that. I think he's going to have to break out for them. Then Reuben Foster, he's a guy that going into the draft, I was talking about the Niners possibly drafting him at number two. They got him at 31. I think he's that level of talent. He's an all-pro type of player. He had some flashes there against the Chiefs, but he also missed, I think it was six tackles, which is just kind of inexcusable especially on a defense where they're relying on him to be a guy to tackle ball carriers. So I think he's going to need to step up in a big way, too. Then on the other side of the ball, Matt Breida is a guy who's been very good. He'll need to continue being good, but I think they need more from Alfred Morris. Morris was very good against the Chiefs. I think it was 14 carries for 67 yards and a touchdown, and the Chiefs didn't really have an answer for him, and I think that's where what we're going to need to see from him going forward, because I think the 49ers are going to lean a little more on their running game, and they've been favoring Morris through the first 3 weeks, actually, over Breida in terms of total workload. So if they're going to continue doing that, I think we're going to see even more carries for Morris, especially now with Breida banged up. He's going to have to keep averaging 4-plus yards to carry. And then Pierre Garçon was a guy I looked at. The entire receiving corps is going to have to be better. Jimmy Garoppolo took those 6 sacks against the Lions in part because the receivers couldn't get open. But Pierre Garçon's a guy I look at. Just the veteran who Beathard has to trust to be able to go make a play for him. And the guy who's going to be that possession receiver, going to get you a big third down catch, going to be a red zone target. I think he has to be better as well. It's not just specifically those 4 guys, but those are the 4 big names that really popped out to me when I was looking at guys who could step up.
No, those all make a lot of sense. And yeah, it's going to be a team effort. There is probably 52 guys that need to step up with Jimmy Garoppolo being out. And you mentioned the wide receivers, which is one thing that was a little surprising to me coming into the year and watching Jimmy Garoppolo, like you mentioned, stand in the pocket and scan and scan and scan and not able to find anybody open. Do you think that the 49ers in-house, maybe secretly behind the scenes, are maybe a little disappointed in their wide receiving core and that maybe they didn't do enough at that position before the season to bolster it? Because, you know, on paper, and I've had people on the show from other teams that don't really respect the 49ers receiving core, and they look at that, and I could see if you're on the outside looking in thinking, man, that's not the greatest, you know, set of wide receivers in the league. But I think the 49ers thought there'd be more development from the young guys, and then Pierre Garçon and Marquise Goodwin being a really good number 1-2 combination. What are you seeing there from the wide receiving core?
Yeah, I think that Kyle Shanahan is pretty confident in his ability to get productivity out of, I don't want to say lesser wide receivers, a little known wide receivers, maybe not number 1 wide receivers. If you go look at his history, it's just littered with guys who had 800, 900-yard seasons and then never did anything again after they were done with Shanahan. So I think that he might have been a little bit overconfident. Trent Taylor has been pretty disappointing. I thought he was going to be a guy who was going to really emerge this year. Marquise Goodwin is hurt, but caught a touchdown last week. So I think it's a little early to make a judgment on him, but I mentioned Garcon, he's been pretty disappointing. And then Dante Pettis, who they took with the 12th pick in the second round, had that touchdown catch in the first week. But he's had big plays, but not a lot of them. And I think it's in part because he hasn't had a full offseason yet to get bigger and stronger, which was the big knock on him coming out of Washington. He gets jammed up at the line pretty easily, and as good as he is shaking free, if an NFL defender gets their hands on him, he has a hard time getting away from him. I think the receiving corps has been a little bit of a disappointment. They need to get a true number one, I think, because right now I don't think there is a player in the receiving corps. They have some fine players and some guys who can be contributors on a good championship level receiving corps, but they need a number one. All of Kyle Shanahan's best offenses have had an elite go-to receiver. Andre Johnson, his only all-pro years were under Shanahan. Same with Julio Jones. I think they're eventually going to need a number one guy like that to really get the rest of this talented receiving core to break out, because I don't think they're going to be able to do it.
Yeah, and it's a good point, and it's nice to have that one stud wide receiver who's sort of matchup proof, and then you can chuck to and he can pull the ball down over everybody and pull down rebounds in the end zone. And the 49ers don't really have that right now, and they've got some good players, as you mentioned, but you know, it's a lot of number twos and number 2A, 2B, and even Dante Pettis, who they traded up to draft in the second round. I don't view him as necessarily a future number one either. He's like that perfect number two guy. He just doesn't have that I don't know. He just doesn't have that skill set, that toolbox of just being a monster out on the field, even though he can get open. And I love the flexibility, and I love his pure hands, and I like a lot of the things he can do. And then there's some, you know, it sounds like Kyle Shanahan actually pretty much said, he's like, and you'd really hope that the rookies don't have to play as much as we had to play Dante Pettis. So it might be a little bit more growing pains than I think a lot of people expected for a high second round pick coming in and just playing a lot right away.
Yeah, they don't have a guy that they can, like, and I bring up Antonio Brown and Julio Jones as extreme examples because they're the two best receivers in the league, in my opinion.
Right.
But the 49ers don't have a guy that it's like, that guy's going to go make a play. I think right now it's George Kittle, which I guess is okay, but if your tight end is your number one receiving target, we saw with the Jim Harbaugh team how well that kind of worked out in the end. So I do think that, like Dante Pettis specifically, I think Kyle Shanahan sees him as a developmental guy who has all the tools to be a really good receiver, but I don't think he's ever going to be that number one, hey, it's second and 15, we can throw it to this guy, and he's going to go make a play. Hey, if we're inside the 20, the defense has to have three guys with eyes on him so he can go, because he's going to go make a play. The Niners just don't have that threat right now. They don't have anybody on the roster if he's developing into that threat. I'm really wondering, I haven't looked at the free agent market quite yet, but I'm really wondering if that's something they go try and acquire eventually. Because I think this offense, we've kind of seen the ceiling of it until they do get that kind of elite playmaker.
Kyle Madsen joined me here on Locked On 49ers. He's the managing editor at the Niners Wire. I want to get a little bit more into C.J. Beathard, what to expect there from the second-year quarterback on Sunday and going forward, and get into some predictions and how things might go this weekend in Los Angeles. Kyle, so we talked about the wide receivers and some players that need to step up, but obviously none bigger than C.J. Beathard. What is your faith level right now in C.J. Beathard running the show for the 49ers the rest of the way?
It's not super high, but I haven't been in practice. I mean, I haven't seen what he's looked like. Somebody expressed to me on Twitter today that their confidence level is even lower than it would have been had they not seen him in the preseason, basically suggesting he was so bad in the preseason they think he might be worse than he was last year. And I don't think that's necessarily fair because the 49ers aren't deep, and Beathard is running, with second and third teams. So I'm not sure that the preseason is a great barometer for where he's at. But Matt Breida said today that Beathard is more confident in the offense, more confident in the play calls, and that Beathard is going to quote shock some people. I think he's going to be better than he was last year. I think he completed like 55% of his passes or 56% of his throws. He wasn't very good. And I think the 49ers have a better idea of his limitations now. Kyle Shanahan said in his press conference that Beathard can make all the throws. Maybe you've seen that. I haven't. I thought he had a problem getting balls outside the numbers last year. But I think the coaching staff has a better idea of what he can and can't do now. And I think they'll adapt game plans a little more properly to that. They'll be able to open the offense up a little bit more now that he has a full offseason with it, and a better offensive line, a better running game. So I think the team's improved, and I expect to see it improve C.J. Beathard as well. I don't think he's going to take them to 10 wins, but I also don't think they're going to finish 1-15. I could see him, winning 3 or 4 games and being competitive, but any hope they might have had to make a push for the playoffs or be in the playoffs in the final few weeks is, I think, pretty much it.
Yeah, I totally agree with everything you said there, pretty much. And I had to laugh when you mentioned the preseason thing, and a lot of people were clamoring for Nick Mullins to actually be the backup quarterback over C.J. Beathard. So Nick Mullins at least going to get his first shot to be on the active roster. He's going to be the backup here for at least the short term, and the 49ers have brought in a bunch of guys for workouts. We'll see if they sign any of those players and how that roster all shakes out at the quarterback position, but it's pretty obvious they're not going to try to bring in somebody to be over the top of C.J. Beathard. This is going to be C.J. Beathard's show as long as he's healthy. One thing I worry about with C.J. Beathard, and you mentioned some of it there, is, you know, there's the accuracy. He just doesn't have quite the arm talent. He's not quite as good of a passer as Jimmy Garoppolo is, obviously. But his decision making hasn't been quick, and I noticed it in college, and it was the same last year. And you know, you can chalk some of that up to being a rookie and being forced into action on a bad team that was, you know, 0-9 at one point. But his toughness is almost, and I say this a lot about Trent Taylor as well, and I think it's true for C.J. Beathard. Their toughness is one of their greatest traits, but it's also the thing that's going to get them killed eventually, is because they're almost too tough for their own good. And C.J. Beathard will just sit in the pocket and hang in there forever. And he got crushed last year, and I worry if he's going to do that again this year, then we might actually see Nick Mullins.
Yeah, maybe. I think the offensive line's a little bit better. I think, as you said, I think he's going to be better about getting the ball out quicker. I think last year his eye level might have been dropped a little bit because he was taking such a beating back there. And it's also worth noting, he started against some good teams. He started in Philly, the eventual Super Bowl champions and arguably the best team in the league last year. He had a start against the Cowboys. He had his start against the Seahawks, who were making a playoff push last year. So he's faced some tough teams with a terrible offensive line in front of him. I think a better offensive line will really help. They're still not great, but they're certainly better than they were. And like I said, the 49ers coaching staff sees what we're seeing in terms of them holding onto the ball too long. And so I think they're really going to focus on him getting the ball out quick, finding his running backs, finding George Kittle, maybe more targets for Trent Taylor underneath. So I think we'll see a little bit different version of the 49ers offense. Still a ton of play action, but maybe not as many plays designed to go into the second and third levels of the passing game, and instead focusing on just getting them in a rhythm, getting the ball out quick, just trying to be efficient.
So I talked with the guys from Locked On Chargers on yesterday's show, and we were, you know, talking through this game and how it might look. And to me, it's pretty obvious that if you're a defensive coordinator going against the 49ers now in week four without Jimmy Garoppolo and with how good the 49ers run game has been, you're going to do everything you can to stop the run and make C.J. Beathard beat you. And now Matt Breida's a little bit dinged up. Is that a recipe for disaster right now, just with the matchups and how the 49ers are built and everybody that's dinged up on this team?
Yeah, I think so, but I also think that's something that a offensive-minded coach like Kyle Shanahan, and honestly, specifically Kyle Shanahan, will take advantage of. Like, he's not dumb. He knows what defensive coordinators are looking at. He knows what hand he's been dealt, and it's something where I've got an ultimate point here, so track with me. Matt LaFleur, the Titans offensive coordinator, was the Rams offensive coordinator last year. He was with Kyle Shanahan in Atlanta. So when the Rams and Niners played last year, he spilled all this info on Kyle Shanahan's offense and his tendencies and da-da-da-da. And the Niners put up two of their best offensive games against the Rams because Kyle Shanahan knew the info that Matt LaFleur was going to give them and effectively played into that. Or game planned based on that. He's a very smart offensive mind. So he knows what the Chargers are looking at, and I think we'll see a ton of play action. I think we'll see plenty of plays where we saw it even with Garoppolo under center, where there's just guys running open. Go look at Kendrick Bourne's touchdown. Go look at Marquise Goodwin's touchdown. Kyle Juszczyk's touchdown. There's a guy. They're wide open. Right near the end zone. You wonder how you can lose track of a guy like that. And it's because of the scheming of Kyle Shanahan and his ability to give you a run look and pass out of it or run out of the same run look on three consecutive plays and then run play action out of it. So I think that's where we're really going to see what Kyle Shanahan's made up here because he has a real opportunity to make C.J. Beathard look pretty good. If he can catch defenses overcommitting to one thing, because that's where a coach like Kyle Shanahan, there's other coaches in the league that'll do it too. They'll kill you with it.
Yeah, no, that's a fantastic point. And if you're going to overcommit to the run, that play action game is going to be very important. And then, like in C.J. Beathard's only win as a starting NFL quarterback, maybe you got to hit some deep plays too off that play action and not just to hit the short and intermediate stuff like he did against the New York Giants last year, and maybe find some long connections with guys like Marquise Goodwin and some quick strike touchdowns and take advantage of a team that's really trying to do everything they can to stop your run game.
Yeah, certainly, and that's where the receiving corps is going to have to step up. You mentioned Goodwin. He's been a little banged up, but if he's going to play, he's going to need to use that elite game-changing speed to get over the top. That's something Dante Pettis is very effective at as well, getting open in the third level of the passing game. And then George Kittle's another guy who Shanahan seems to scheme open down the field once or twice a game where he's just running free, same with Kyle Juszczyk. So, yeah, absolutely. I think the primary focus is going to be on efficiency and getting the ball out quick, but ultimately they're going to have to make some big plays and make defenses pay for overcommitting.
And then you would expect that George Kittle would be that one guy that could be a great factor here and be the best friend of C.J. Beathard, and I think he will be down the stretch, but this is also a bad matchup there because the Chargers have a fantastic rookie safety in Derwin James, and I got to believe that they're going to use him as, or at least try to use him as, a George Kittle eraser.
Yeah, Derwin James has been a heck of a player, man. They do so many things with him, and it's part of why I wanted the 49ers to draft him, because he just masked so many holes on the defense. He can play like a single high safety role. He can play down in the box as a linebacker. He can rush the passer. He can play corner. So, I absolutely think he's the type of player with the size and athleticism to hang with George Kittle, and there are not many guys in the league who can do that. So I think we'll for sure see Derwin James in that role. Maybe not necessarily just shadowing George Kittle, but it'll be tough for him to run free the way he has the first few weeks.
Absolutely. Okay, so talking about all these matchups and looking at what the 49ers are going to be dealing with on Sunday on the road in Los Angeles against the Chargers, the MyBookie line, looking at it, it's 10.5 points. Is that an overreaction? You think the 49ers not only can get within 10.5 points of the Chargers but still win this game?
No, that's probably about right. Because the line, you're trying to get action on both sides. 10.5 sounds about right. And that's not even so much, I honestly don't find myself as worried about the 49ers offense as I am about their defense. That defense is bad when it's fully healthy. And with Richard Sherman out, Jaquaski Tartt and Adrian Colbert didn't practice on Wednesday. There were already holes in that defense, and injuries have only made it worse. And the Chargers just have, they have so many weapons on offense, and Phillip Rivers is so underrated. Like, I know he's got, people have jokes about him and he hasn't won in the playoffs and this and that, but Phillip Rivers is a dynamite quarterback. And I know Keenan Allen didn't practice today, so that's a little bit of a reprieve for the 49ers, but the Chargers are going to find ways to score. And I'm not sure the 49ers are going to be able to keep up for four quarters. So I think 10 and a half points is about right.
Yeah, that's a great point about the defensive side of the ball. And, you know, they've already had so much trouble because they can't get after the quarterback quite enough. And then you lose Richard Sherman. And so already dinged up in the secondary. That's going to be a tough one to cover all those guys. And Mike Williams looks like he's developing at wide receiver, a big play guy for the Chargers. And I agree with your take there on Phillip Rivers. Really, you know, he hasn't been able to win enough big games and play deep into January enough to get the credit he deserves. He's a fantastic quarterback. And so it's going to be a rough day all around for the 49ers. But the one thing that I think could be the factor that really saves the 49ers season and helps them in this game and going forward is what Matt Breida mentioned about C.J. Beathard. I think the team really respects him, and if they're able to rally, and if you have Kyle Shanahan as your offensive coordinator, you always have a chance to put up some points, and I think those things is really what you have to hang your hat on and hope that it's enough for the 49ers to save their season and not really completely go in the tank.
Yeah, and that kind of rallying around the underdog, the one guy who just took a beating last year, for a losing team, but kept peeling himself off the turf and getting back in and standing in against pressure on effectively every down. I think he did, like you said, earned a ton of respect in that locker room, and it's the reason that there was never a question that he was going to be the backup this year. Even as Nick Mullins was having a good preseason and Beathard was not, Shanahan never wavered that Beathard was the number two. He's been the guy they traded up in the third round to draft him last year. They obviously have a ton of confidence in him and what he's doing, and I think that kind of permeates to his teammates as well. And this may be a situation where this week the Chargers think they can throw their helmets on the field and go win a football game, and the 49ers, on the other hand, are galvanizing around C.J. Beathard. And we see that defense playing with a little extra intensity, and we see the offense break out with a couple of big plays off of Al Shanahan digging deep into his playbook and showing some things that the Chargers didn't see on film. And it could be one of those situations where all of a sudden it's 5 minutes left and the 49ers are up 28-13. But on the other hand, the Chargers are vastly more talented than the 49ers, even without Joey Bosa playing. And it's very hard to envision a scenario where, taking emotion out of it, where the 49ers win on Sunday.
Well, there's your silver lining for the 49ers is all the things we just talked about potentially going right for the 49ers and trying to. And we've been looking for silver linings this week with the Garoppolo stuff. And a lot of my listeners have been pretty bummed out. Some people tweeting at me that they just can't even turn on the podcast because they don't want to listen to anything. And they're so bummed out because. So some silver linings is good. And I think that's the rallying point. That's the thing for the 49ers that they have to that has to be the focus here. And the NFL has a way of really humbling people who think they know exactly what's going on. So, some motivated players is one of the biggest factors you can have as a football team. So that's, I think, what 49ers fans should look for going forward.
Yeah, go watch the Bills and the Vikings. The Bills are 17-point underdogs and look like a Super Bowl contender against a team that everybody thought would walk through the NFC. Let me bust out the cliche book here. Any given Sunday.
That's right.
It's still a young, developing team. There's still a lot of young, exciting pieces to watch. They may not win, but I think that the culture they've established and the attitude this team has, they're not throwing in their helmets. They're not accepting 1-15. They're going to go try, and they're going to go hit some teams in the mouth.
That is Kyle Madsen. He is the new managing editor of the Niners Wire, part of the USA Today Network. You can find him on Twitter at Kyle A. Madsen. Kyle, always a pleasure chatting with you. Let's do it again soon, huh?
Yeah, no, anytime, man. I enjoy doing it.
And that's going to do it for this Thursday edition of Locked On 49ers. Be back tomorrow with a Fan Friday. Dip into the mailbag. Hit me up on Twitter at BD Peacock. You can email me at lockedon49ers@gmail.com. Whatever you guys want to get into, let me know. And that's what Friday's episode will be as we get ready for week 4 against the Los Angeles Chargers. All right. Talk to you guys then right here on Locked On 49ers.